Good evening and welcome to our Tuesday evening Bible study. Tonight we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 4.
Let's just read his word this evening, Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and rose up, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass, from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." So we laboured in the work. And half of them held the spears, from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, "Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labour on the day." So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us this evening. Well, we've had a tour of the wall and the gates of Jerusalem, the walls of salvation, the walls of separation from that which is of the world, that which is of the enemy, the walls of protection, the gates of praise, the everlasting gates which speak forth the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work has been laid out before us. Before it is completed, we can see the work going ahead, and we can see the mind of God in all that wonderful plan. But you see, no sooner had the people of God started on the work of building up the walls of Jerusalem, of building this wall of separation around their lives, than the enemy attacks. And we see many ways, and in particular, three ways this evening, in which the enemy attacks the people of God. And we need to be aware of all the strategy and all the plans and all the wiles of the enemy, that we may be able to resist him, and that we may be able to look to our God through the Lord Jesus Christ and stand against him and build the work that God wants us to be involved in. We find that the names that are mentioned have already been mentioned, Sanballat and Tobiah. We find here that we have people of a mixed race. We don't actually know too much about Sanballat, but he's got a name which includes the name of a foreign god. He is involved with the people of Samaria, which are a mixed people. They have something of the heritage of the people of God, but they have mixed with other nations. And you see, there is anger here against what the people of God are doing. In chapter 2, when Nehemiah first returned to Jerusalem, in verse 10, it says that Sanballat and Tobiah, when they heard that Nehemiah had come, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And later on, they laughed the people of God to scorn and despised them. See, the enemy does not want anybody to be concerned about the welfare of the people of God. He doesn't want you to be here this evening, because you'll receive the word of God, which is building us up together in our most holy faith. The enemy doesn't want that. He was very wrath. And what is the first line of attack that we find here? It's a line of attack which cuts many people right to the heart. It's mocking, deriding, condemning, accusing. The words and the accusations of the enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the one who accuses, and he will accuse your heart, and he will accuse my heart to bring us to a standstill, that we are not active in the power of the Spirit of God, in the upbuilding of the things of God, and in the upbuilding of the people of God. We've got to be wise this evening. I believe that this evening we also find from the Word of God the instruction and the answer that we need for our souls, that we might overcome and that we might stand firm. Sanballat had a few things to say. He says, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? You're a weak old people. What are you going to do? Scornful, laughing. You're going to make yourself strong, you lot. Going to be strong, going to be a force in the world. Ha! Rubbish. You see? The enemy comes. He says, what do you think you're going to do? Building up the things of God? You're weak. Never do it. Will they sacrifice? Who do you think you are? Offering to God. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're sinful. You're a failure. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself agreeing. Because what he puts his finger on are things which we can agree to in a measure. We say, well, yeah, it's true, I am a failure. It is true, I am a sinner. Yes, I did do that. Shouldn't have done, but I, you know, and we get to dwell on the failure. He says, you're not offer sacrifice to God. You miserable sinner, you're not worthy. And the accusations come, you see. Will they make an end in a day? They're setting about this work. Look at them. Rome wasn't built in a day, sort of thing. Think you're going to do this in a day? It's going to take you years and years and you'll never do it. You'll never do it. You'll never last the course. I bet some of you have had that said to you. You know, if you've recently come to the Lord, won't last. Won't last. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, the stones that once formed that building, those walls. Look at all the rubbish that's in there now. You're going to get rid of all that rubbish. Look at it, vile rubbish that's burned. It's been under judgment, the judgment of God. No. And you listen to the enemy. And if the Jews had listened to the enemy, they would have agreed. And they'd say, what's the point? Let's just throw in our lot with the people of the land and we'll just worship God, you know, in a sort of vague sort of way. But no, you see, they turned to God. I want to turn you to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because it's with the truth of God, you see, that we can stand against the accusations of the enemy. Because if we try to argue from our own point of view, we'll get into deeper water. We'll get into more difficulties. If we try to justify ourselves, oh, we'll fall even deeper into the mess. But it's on the word of God that we must rest. In 1 Peter chapter 2, start from verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming," we're coming to him, to the Lord, "as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men." Well, we've heard what men have had to say. We've heard what Sanballat and Tobiah have had to say. Disallowed of men, but Jesus was disallowed. Jesus was scorned, but chosen of God and precious. Now here is the promise to us. We're coming to Jesus, that living stone. "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Praise God. What a wonderful law we have. You see, it makes it quite clear. I know that in one sense you can say that Peter was written to a Jewish people, but nevertheless, the truth of the scripture is here for us this evening, that we've been brought out of darkness into light, and that we are living stones. Now look at the accusation of Sanballat, and let's work back through his accusation. First of all, if we're working backwards, he said, "Will you revive the stones? Will you bring the stones back to life out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned under judgment?" Or what does he say? He says that you are living stones. Hallelujah. In the building of God, in the temple of God, you're living stones, built up a spiritual house. Yes. You see, what we could not do, what we could not be, God has made us. What else did he say? He says, "Will you build it up in a day?" Yes, we have been built up. It is a work that has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a miraculous work. It is a complete work. And then he says, "You're not worthy enough to sacrifice. Who do you think you are?" What does it say here? It says that you are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Your life is acceptable to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians that we are accepted in the Beloved. That's the name of the Lord. And then what does it say? You're weak. But what does the Word of God say? It says, it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded." You are strong, because you are built upon the chief cornerstone. You are built upon him who cannot fail. Hallelujah. Let's come and rely upon the word of God. The people of old in the time of Nehemiah, they turned to God. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we, in these accusations that are brought against us by the enemy, the mocking and the deriding and the scorning of the enemy, which would so cut us up, we can turn to Jesus. Because in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "For consider him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. They spoke against him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Hallelujah. We have one to look to who himself endured the scorning, the derision, the mocking of the enemy. He endured it. And he says, now look to him. If you don't look to him, you'll be weary and faint in your mind. But if you're looking to Jesus, this mocking attack of the enemy will cut no ice with you, because you're looking to Jesus. You're looking to him. And they look to God. They turn to him in prayer. Hear, O our God. It goes from verse 3, the words of the enemy, to verse 4, the words of the prayer of the people of God. Hear, O our God. There was no return made. There was no entering into an argument or a discussion with the enemy. It was turning to God. Hear, O God. And they carried on with the work. Praise the name of the Lord. The work proceeded. They were building up, halfway up, you see. It says the people had a mind to work. I trust this evening we too will have a mind to work in the things of the Lord. Oh, the Lord will give us the power, and he will enable, and it will be his work. But let us have a mind to work this evening. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, and it says it in a different context, I know, but 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, concerning this, that there may be, he was talking about giving and sharing in these things, but he says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So, the Lord knows what we are able to do and what we're not able to do. But if there is that willing mind, and we move out in him, we're accepted in him. It's his work, and the work of God proceeded. And the wall began to get built up. And the gaps in the wall, where the enemy could get through and attack the people inside, began to be filled up. And I think we need to do this too in our own lives. I need to do it. We all need to be watchful in these things. Stop the breaches, the gaps in the wall of separation from the things of the world. Stop them up. Block them up. Where there is need of repair, let the repair work be done, that there may be a living and a separation unto God, and a separation from the things of the world. And you know what happened? It didn't get easier. The enemy attacked even more. Because as soon as the enemy saw that every avenue into the lives of these people was being stopped, he began to get more aggressive. So that it wasn't just words now, it was open aggression and threat of aggression. We're going to fight. We're going to hinder the work. We want to break down these walls and get an inroad into the lives of these people again. The access has been stopped. As you know, if you read again Nehemiah chapter 4, you will find that there is an increase in the number of enemies. First it was Sanballat, and Tobiah added his two penneth. He said, oh well, if they do build it, a fox will break it down. It would be such a weak effort. But when they saw the wall being built strongly, it then adds a whole list. It's not only Sanballat and Tobiah, but there are other ancient enemies of the people of God being involved. The Ammonites and the Ashdodites and whoever else there was there, that add, and the Arabians, the ancient enemies of God's people. You see, it starts off with people who have some sort of association, the Samaritans and somebody who is an Ammonite. But then the ancient enemy of God's people begin to rear their heads, and we find that this is indeed the work of the satanic work. And you see, when people scorn and mock us and deride, you may think, oh, well, that's the way of the world. That's the way people in the world, they don't know. But the more you build that wall of separation around your life, you'll find out who the enemy is. You'll find that it is the ancient enemy of God's people. It is a satanic work. And we find that the number of the enemy increased. Not only did it increase, it said in the first place, it says Sanballat was wroth. He was angry. But now it says that they were very wroth. They were very angry. There's an increase. The tempers are getting up. And it's coming to the boil, you see. And they conspire together to fight and to hinder the work of God. But the people of God are aware of the enemy action, you see. And it says in verse 9 that we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. It wasn't just praying now unto God, it was praying and watching. And we must too be praying and watching. We must be watchful concerning our own lives, concerning any attack that the enemy might make upon us. Let's be watching. It says in Ephesians 6, concerning watching unto prayer. With all watchfulness, let us watch that the enemy does not catch us unawares. We're ready in the Lord. And how can we be ready? By living and walking in the Spirit. By feeding upon the Word of God. By looking to Him continually and being aware of all the wiles of the enemy. There was a continuous watching. Day and night they did not let up. Do you know we cannot let up one moment in our Christian lives in this watchfulness? The moment we let up watching, the moment we let our attention wander from the Lord for a moment, there's a breach. The enemy will seek to get in. Let's be watching day and night. This is not scaremongering. This is a call to pray, to watch and pray. Even as Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to watch. We need to be people of a willing mind and of a ready mind. They had a mind to work, and they were watching. Well, the enemy don't seem to have made much of that at all, you see, because we don't read of any enemy action. The enemy may have come scouting to see what the situation was, and there they are, they're watching us. And while they're watching, the enemy doesn't come, because from a distance they can be picked off. So then comes another form of attack, and this time it's doubts and fears. Doubts and fears. There's been the mocking. There's been the physical aggression and the threat of aggression. But now there are the doubts and the fears sown in the hearts of the people of God. We don't want to let those sort of seeds take any root in our hearts and in our lives at all. Even Paul said something about this, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, he said, when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, I'm glad we didn't have to stop at verse 6, nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And so that there was an encouragement by a brother in the Lord. See, we need one another to encourage one another. Even in the things when the enemy is attacking, we need one another. And Paul was encouraged by the coming of Titus and built up when there were fightings without and fears within. The Lord sent somebody so that those fears could be cast out. Perfect love casts out fear. And here in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, they've got the fightings without, and now the fears are trying to come within, you see. And what do the people of Judah say? It says, all the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. We're getting weaker. You know, we're not going to be able to. It's true. We're getting weaker. We're not able to do it anymore. There's much rubbish. It's true what old Sanballat said, you know. There's much rubbish. How are we ever going to shift it all? You know, we look at our lives sometimes and we think, oh, there's a lot of rubbish in our lives to be cleared out. Are we ever going to be what the Lord wants us to be? Don't ever give up. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Him. We're not able to build the wall. What a thing to say. When God had called them to the work to enable them. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You see the word of the enemy. They're going to sneak up on us unawares. They're going to be in the midst of us before we know it, and we're going to be killed. We're going to be stopped. It's like the old army game chap, isn't it? Corporal Jones. Don't panic! Don't panic! And as he's saying it, he's panicking like, and panic spreads, and everybody panics. That's a humorous, I suppose, insight into the work of the enemy. The spreading of fear, the spreading of doubt, to get the people of God to stop the work. There were much burdens to be borne. There was much rubbish to be cleared. Jeremiah had been told years before, he said, if you take forth the precious from the vial, then I'll be at your mouth. God would speak through him. And that is a principle. The rubbish has got to be dealt with, you see. And they said, we can't build. We can't build. And they were taking in, really, you see, the words of the enemy. And what do the words of the enemy produce? The words of the enemy produce tares, weeds. But we want to cling to the word of God, not the words of the enemy. It says 10 times concerning the Jewish people. Came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Yeah, you see, who are these Jews? They were the Jews that lived outside the city, amongst these people, these Samaritans. And they bring in the word, you see. As they come into the city to work every day, they bring in what the enemy are saying. And 10 times, there's that full cycle of repeating these things. Now, just as the 10 spies brought back the evil report concerning the land of Israel and convinced the people of God with their evil report, and they gave a full report of the evil that they saw in the land, and they wouldn't listen to the 2 true witnesses. They listened to the 10 spies. And these Jews here bring back 10 times the word of the enemy. No, we don't want to listen to the word of the enemy. You see who it was? It was those that were living in close proximity to the things of the enemy. Those that live in compromised situations. We can't listen to those things. We must be looking unto the Lord. But I'm pleased that there was no arguing here. Nehemiah was indeed the consolation of Jehovah. He was the one that was ministering the word of the Lord and guiding these people. Because it says in verse 13 that Nehemiah did something about it. He's not going to argue. He's going to do something. And so we see that against the doubts and the fears came the action of faith. And what did he do? He did that which everybody might have said, or the enemy might have said, well, it's no good you doing that. That won't put us off. But he did something. He set people. He set watches. He set guards. First of all, it says, in the lower places behind the wall, out of sight. And then, on the higher places, I set the people, after their families, with their swords, their spears and their bows, in full view. There was that which could be seen to be the outward work against the enemy, but there was a work going on also that was unseen by the enemy. There was a protection there unseen by the enemy. As you know, in the warfare that we are engaged in, against all these onslaughts of the enemy, there will be that which is outward, which can be in full view of the enemy, which is the watching. But there's that which the enemy knows nothing of. That which is low down, as it were, behind the wall, out of sight. And our praying and our communion with the Lord will be that which will give us the victory again and again. And they were able, you see, to stand and to fight. Do you see what they're equipped with? Very quickly, because time goes very quickly. But you see what they're equipped with? It says they had swords and spears and bows. And those 3 weapons, I think we can associate them with the work of the Lord. The sword, which we associate with the word of God and with the Holy Spirit. The sword is that which is used in close combat. When the enemy breaks through and gets right up close, that's when you use the sword. You don't usually hurl the sword at the fellow on the other side of the room, not unless you're Errol Flynn or something in a film, but it's for close combat. But the spear is for more distant combat. If you saw the ancient armies in combat, they had a strange idea about warfare. The ancient Greeks, for instance, and I presume it goes back to these times as well, had long spears, huge long things, and they would line up in rows, one behind another, and these spears would bristle out. And the opposite army would do the same thing. They'd just march at each other. Strange way of fighting. But it was at a distance. Before ever they came into close sword contact, they had the spears picking one another off. And then, of course, the bow and arrow, at a great distance. Now, I think, you see, that there are times when we can see the enemy way at a distance. We can see him coming a mile off. And if we are wise, we can use the arrows of deliverance. You know, Elisha knew something about the arrows of deliverance. Pick him off miles away, and we're not troubled. Elisha told Joash, I think it was, he said, fire this arrow out of the window. Elisha was dying, and Joash pulls the bow back, and Elisha puts his hands on the bow with him, and phew, the arrow flies out of the window, you see. Now he says, hit the ground with that bunch of arrows in your hand. And Joash goes, 1, 2, 3, and he stopped. And Elisha was cross with him. He said, why did you only do it 3 times? He said, now you'll only defeat Syria 3 times. If you'd done it 6 times, you'd have really done it then. You'd have finished them off for good. You know, there's a lesson in that. Elisha called it the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Never stop. Never be satisfied with the first or the second time. Keep on watching. Get the bow. See him coming at a distance and see the enemy off. Hallelujah. But the spear is also for a distance. You know, if he's got a bit closer this time, we can see the enemy off with the spear. Joash held out the spear to the city of Ai when it was defeated on the second attack. And the Lord says, stretch forth your spear unto Ai. And you know, if you read it in Joshua, there is the tremendous verse in Joshua 8 and verse 26. It says, Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Again, there was an utter destruction. He's stretching out the spear. Don't ever hold it back. You know, that attack, that onslaught against the enemy. Keep him at bay. Don't have any truck with the enemy. We're on the victory side. Hallelujah. We praise the name of the Lord. And then there was a sword for that close combat. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what the word of God was through Nehemiah. Verse 14, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. That's what we did this morning, wasn't it? Remember the Lord. We got our eyes on the victory this morning. On the place of victory. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who defeated Satan. He cried, it is finished. He rose again and he defeated death. He destroyed him that has the power of death. Hallelujah. Remember the Lord. Don't remember your own victories and your own past life and your own experience and what you have done and what you can and can't do. Remember the Lord. He's won the victory. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And you know what it says? It says in verse 15 that when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, God had brought their counsel to naught, we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. They scooted. Praise the Lord. They said they went. That's what James says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And Peter says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Praise God. Let's resist him. Let's keep him at a distance. They returned to the work. And then from that time on, it was a readiness to work and a readiness to fight. And we find that everybody that was working on the wall was girded with a sword. They had a weapon in one hand and they were working with the other hand. One eye on the one hand on the work, one hand ready to defend. The sword for close combat. But half the people were set as a guard on the wall. And what did they use? They used the spears and the bows. Half the people who were watching were there to see the enemy coming at a distance with the spear and with the bow. But if they got further than them, then those working on the wall had the sword out, ready. The enemy was not going to get past the wall. The people of God were prepared for every situation. And you notice those on the wall also had shields and habergeons, which is a strange word. Now the shield is for protection. The word of God says we have the shield of faith, wherewith we may quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. But the habergeon was a breastplate. It was a breastplate. It was a protection for the body. And the breastplate of righteousness. That's what we, the people of God, need. Get the rubbish out. We need the breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. The enemy cannot penetrate that. He cannot get to our heart and affections. Praise the name of the Lord. Because we're protected. And there we are. There they were. Working and ready to fight. And we are the people of God. We are working. We're ready to fight, that we may see the building up of the work of God. How long did they work? He said they worked from the morning rising until the time that the stars appeared. I've lost my notes, but anyway, that's when they worked, from the morning rising till the appearing of the stars. In other words, they worked while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. And we too have got to bear that in mind. We've got to work while it is day. They didn't waste any of the day. From the moment it began to the moment it finished, they filled the whole day up with work. And you know, just in case the enemy should attack and get through, there was a trumpet. There was a trumpet there. He says, you see, we're spread out upon the wall, all the way around Jerusalem. We're spread out. The enemy will outnumber us. Oh, no, he won't. We may appear as the people of God to be spread out and diverse, just a feeble few here and there. But when the alarm sounds, the people of God are one. And who fights for us? Our God fights for us. And we are united against every attack of the enemy. There was royal support too. The rulers were there. It says the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They are the people of God from the highest to the lowest. Were one in this great stand in building the things of God. Working, watching, listening, should the alarm sound. And what did he say? He said, look, all you people that keep nipping off outside of Jerusalem and such like, let's all stay in Jerusalem. And when it's night, we can take turns to guard and we'll be safe in Jerusalem. We'll stay there and we won't leave anything unguarded. We want to build up the walls of salvation. See, when they were outside the city, their heads were unguarded. Right? What protective part of the armour has not been mentioned so far? The helmet of salvation. And when they were outside of the city, it says those Jews that came in from outside, they'd let the thoughts of the enemy get into their minds. Get the helmet of salvation. We're building up the walls of salvation. Let's stay in this place where the enemy thoughts can't get in. And there was a constant guard. And Nehemiah and his servants, his brethren, who were on guard, they were so keen about being watchful over the people of God. Here are those that are looking over and watching over the people of God, that they didn't even change their clothes. Just took them off now and again to have a wash. They kept on their clothes. But you know, there is a word, and I'll finish with this word, in Romans and chapter 13, which tells us about something about clothing too. And in Romans 13, it says this concerning us. Verses 11 to 14, it says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfil the lust thereof. Let's make sure our clothing and our armour is of him. And let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's an encouragement to read of these things in the Word of God, to see how the enemy tactics haven't changed, but nor has the power of the Lord. And we are his, and we're accepted in him, and he wants us to be about the work, ready to fight, but building up the work of God. The hymn I'd like to sing as we come to a close is the challenge that Moses threw out to the people of God in the book of Exodus. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine.
Well, that's all for now. We look forward to meeting you next week at the same time. In the meantime, don't forget our prayer meeting on Thursday evening and our Sunday morning praise, worship and reading of the Word of God. Meet you then.